If you're enjoying this podcast, please consider leaving a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It really helps me out a lot. Cheers.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Novel Analyst Podcast. My name is Jed Hearn, author of the upcoming fantasy novella Fires of the Dead, which comes out hopefully end of September. And every episode on this podcast, I analyze the story to help you become a better writer. Today's episode is titled Six of Crows by Leigh Bardugo, using the relationship axes to create interesting character dynamics. Six of Crows is this fantastic YA fantasy novel by Leigh Bardugo, and it's essentially a heist novel about a group of young street criminals, street prodigies, if you like, and they have to basically break into this impenetrable icy stronghold in the northern reaches of this world. And to do so, they're going to need to come up with an amazing plan, and they're going to need to be able to actually work together. Now, I'll take a sip of water there. What I find remarkable about this novel is how well-developed each of the characters are. There's six main characters. I'm going to be focusing on two in particular today. And each of these characters have a very complex relationship with the other members of the crew. And this is great because in a heist story, it's all about the crew. It's all about who are you going to recruit to let you achieve your mission. And it's not going to be any fun, let's face it, if there's no conflict. So to analyze how Leigh Bardugo created such interesting character relationships in this novel, I'm going to be talking about a concept that I got from the author Mary Robinette Cowell, who discusses this idea of relationship axes. So these are six different things that people use to kind of show their values, what they value in life. And she kind of got this example from, I believe it was her mother-in-law, who said that the closer aligned people are on these six relationship axes, the closer their like romantic relationships will be. But I think it's very useful and very applicable to any kind of character relationships in your stories. So here are the six relationship axes according to Mary Robinette Cowell, and I will link this up in the show notes as well. So number one, mind. Number two, money. Number three, morals. Number four, manners. Number five, monogamy. And number six, Marx Brothers. Mind, money, morals, manners, monogamy, Marx Brothers. A lot of M's there. So what do those mean? Number one, mind. This basically means that both people in the relationship have similar levels of intelligence, because if there's a disparity here, this is probably going to create an uneven relationship. Number two, money. This is saying that both people should ideally have similar attitudes about money. They don't have to have the same amount. Rather, they just have to kind of have the same idea about what money's for and its purpose and how it's handled. Number three, morals. So this is pretty self-explanatory. If you have a similar moral compass of, you know, the right way to behave in the world, you're probably going to get along better in a relationship there. Number four, manners. So a similar sense of what is polite. Now, you might be thinking, Jed, aren't manners and morals really similar? Well, they kind of are, but it's possible to have the same manners, but wildly different morals. So you could be you could both be really polite people, but someone might have the moral that, like, you need to pick up all the trash you see on the ground, and the other one could think, no, that's not my responsibility at all. Different morals, but they could still be equally polite with their manners. Just going to take another sip of water. Number five is monogamy. So this doesn't necessarily mean you're both monogamous in the relationship. It just means that you have similar attitudes about the relationship. So an example here would be like, if one person in a relationship thinks it's way more serious than it is, and the other person is like, oh, you're just like sort of a friend or whatever, then that's a different attitude about the relationship. And you would say that those characters are unaligned. Is that even a word? I guess disengaged on that particular axis of the relationship. And then number six, Marx Brothers. you both find the same things funny, essentially. The Marx Brothers were, like, a long time ago, but somehow I'm aware of this, even though I'm, like, 21, and the Marx Brothers were around in, like, black and white TV times. But basically, they're just a comedy show. So Marx Brothers is implying that if you find the same things funny, you're probably going to get along in your relationship. So, let's apply that relationship axis to the dynamic between Kaz Brekker and Inej Gafar, who are two characters from Six of Crows. So Kaz is this master thief with a reputation for doing literally anything for the right price. He's ruthless, he's determined. He's also known as Dirty Hands. So you kind of get the idea that he's this very, like, very violent person who will just do whatever it takes to get his goals met. Inej is this acrobat who has this talent for sneaking around. And in her backstory, she was kidnapped and forced to work in this brothel until Kaz helped her escape by buying her contract. She also has a nickname, and she's known as the Wraith. And that's because she can basically sneak anywhere and eavesdrop on anyone, and she's just, like, really good at those kind of stealthy, rogue-like activities. So, throughout the book, they kind of grow closer together, and they have, like, a bit of a romantic relationship that, in this book, perhaps doesn't go anywhere, but by the end of this book, their relationship has definitely developed a lot in a particular direction. And again, in Crooked Kingdom, which I did in episode 25 of this podcast, I'll link to that as well, you see the relationship continue to play out in that. So before we get into this, I should just mention there will be spoilers for Six of Crows and also for Crooked Kingdom. So if you haven't read these books and you intend to read them, then stop this episode and come back once you've done that. If not, I am going to keep these spoilers relatively light, so no big plot stuff here, just mainly looking at characters and such. So, the way I am using these relationship axes to analyze the characters of Kaz and Inej is I've basically made a table, 3 columns wide, 7 rows down, and in one column is the different parts of the axes, so mind, money, morals, manners, monogamy, and Marx Brothers, and then the column to the right of that is Kaz and how Kaz responds to that particular axes, and then the column on the right of that is how Inej responds to those axes. So you can go right ahead and use this kind of column system for character relationships in your stories if you're interested. I will put up a copy of this column on my website, novelanalyst.com, underneath this episode. So if you just go to novelanalyst.com, you can see this column and, you know, copy and paste it and use it in your own stories. So let's begin. Mind. So Kaz is arguably more intelligent than Inej. You know, he's this really cunning guy who has these elaborate plans. But despite him having this really high IQ, this really good intelligence, he has a very low EQ. So he's not particularly good with empathizing with people. Even though he is very good at manipulating people, he doesn't actually kind of attach himself to that. So he's quite sociopathic in that regard. Inej, on the other hand, is definitely not as cunning or, like, intellectually clever as Kaz, but she does have, you know, better people skills. And people skills that are actually genuine, and she actually, like, cares about other people, whereas Kaz is just, like, sees everyone as pawns in his plan. So what you can see on that axis is that Kaz and Inej, at least at the start of the book, are quite separated on that axis. So that's going to create conflict for them. Next, money. Here's a quote from Leigh Bardugo, the author of this. Kaz, quote, is a young criminal prodigy ready to do anything for the right price, end quote. So it's pretty obvious here that Kaz just wants money for selfish reasons. The reason why he wants it is so he can basically destroy this gang leader who hurt him. And the more money he has, the easier that outcome will be. Inej also wants money, but not for selfish reasons. She wants it for unselfish reasons because her entire, I guess, life goal is to destroy slavers because they affected her. They took her from her family. So they both want money. They both want a lot of money. And that's the reason why they're going on this heist together to break into this very difficult fortress because they will get a lot of money from it. So they are slightly aligned on this axis, but because they want money for different reasons, one selfish and one unselfish, they are, again, torn apart on this axis. Number 3, morals. So, if you are familiar with Six of Crows or you've kind of gleaned Kaz's true character from my description of him, you'll probably know that Kaz's morals are extremely flexible. He'll do anything for the right price. Inej, on the other hand, has rock-solid morals, mainly because of her strong religious convictions. So, again, these two characters are on polar opposites of this particular axis. Number four, manners. Again, Kaz is very manipulative, so he views manners as this tool he can maybe use to further his goals. He doesn't really care about being polite or anything like that. Inej, on the other hand, seems relatively kind. You know, she uses manners in an unconscious way because she is just a very nice person at her core. She's like quite a good character. The exact opposite to Kaz. So again, you can see a lot of tension on this axis. Number five, monogamy. So Kaz has clear feelings for Inej, but he puts up these walls to protect himself from getting emotionally hurt. You know, because he views emotion as weakness. On the other hand, Inej also has feelings for Kaz, but she won't commit to him while he still maintains these walls because she's afraid that Kaz will just kind of throw her aside, which is fair enough. So out of all the axes so far, they're probably the most aligned on monogamy. Because remember, monogamy just means that they have the same feelings about the relationship. It doesn't mean necessarily that they don't see other people. It just means they have the same feelings about the relationship. So they kind of do have the same feelings here. They both feel for each other, but there's both this thing that's stopping them from being together. And you'll see in Crooked Kingdom that that definitely changes. And then lastly, number six, Marx Brothers. So out of all the axes, this is probably the one where they are the most aligned because they both find it funny and enjoyable and meaningful to upset the privileged, the cruel, the sadistic. In many ways, their mutual hatred of abusive authority figures is one of their binding forces. So, if you look at those axes and you like ranked the, I don't know what happened to my words then, if you ranked them, you would see that they are very closely aligned on one, Marx Brothers, semi-closely aligned on monogamy, and then the rest, they are very far apart. And you can see this tension in the end when Inej tells Kaz, quote, "I will have you without armor, Kaz Brekker, or I will not have you at all," end quote. So as you can see, they're quite out of balance here because they are very far apart on these axes. But as the story progresses, they grow closer together on each of these. So Kaz kind of like lets some of his emotional barriers down and like his grows closer to Inej in the sense of monogamy because they both kind of have stronger feelings about the relationship. You know, money as well. Kaz grows a lot closer to Inej's goals. He's like decides to make all these sacrifices so that Inej can better serve her monetary goals of using her money to, you know, attack slavers and kind of right injustices in the world. So Kaz becomes less selfish with his money and therefore he grows closer to Inej on those axes. Not necessarily in Six of Crows, but definitely in the second part of this duology, this two-part Crooked Kingdom. And eventually at the end of Crooked Kingdom, they've formed a loving relationship because they've each kind of slid closer to each other on these axes. So sometimes it's one character going and meeting the other one. Sometimes it's the other way around. And sometimes they both kind of find a comfortable place in the middle, or at least agree to disagree. So how is this useful in your stories? Well, I think what's relevant and what is very helpful about these axes is that there's six axes. So you can consider six different points of conflict. Rather than just thinking about a character's relationship with their love interest and vice versa, on the bounds of one particular aspect, like, I don't know, work-life balance or whatever, maybe they have different feelings about that. When you have six points of conflict, it allows you to have a much more nuanced and complex relationship between them. And that's how you get complex and nuanced characters, which I think are pretty awesome. It also means, more usefully, that you can consider character growth in six different dimensions. Six dimensions, not just one. So you can consider how characters become different in their manners, how characters become different in how they view money, how characters become different in how they view Marx Brothers, aka comedy. And when you consider character growth in these six different dimensions, that's how you create the kind of complex characters that make Six of Crows such a fantastic novel. Thank you for listening to the Novel Analyst Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to read some of my own writing, why not head on over to jedherne.com/club. That's JEDHERNE/club. I'll have the link to that in the show notes. And when you go there and sign up to my Reader Club email newsletter, I will send you straight away for free, no strings attached, 5 free fantasy and sci-fi stories. That's a bit of a tongue twister, 5 free fantasy. 5 free fantasy and sci-fi stories written by yours truly. Plus, you also get some in-depth articles about my favorite authors. So I'll tell you the writing heroes who have inspired me. I'll tell you a bit more about my journey as a writer. Give you some useful tips. So you will even see, this is a little fun Easter egg as well, you might even see a comic that I drew in year 3 when I was 9 years old when you join that Reader Club email newsletter. So once again, just go to jedherne.com/club, link in the show notes as well, and you can sign up to that for free right away. Thanks so much for listening. I will see you next time.